The Feast of Pentecost, the epistle is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. When the days of Pentecost were drawing to a close, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a violent wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues, as it were of fire, settling on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in foreign tongues, even as the Holy Spirit prompted them to speak. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, devout Jews from every nation under heaven. And when this sound was heard, the multitude gathered together and were bewildered in mind, because each heard them speaking in his own language. But they were all amazed and marveled, saying, "Behold, are not all these that are speaking Galileans? And how have we heard each in his own language in which he was born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, Jews also and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we have heard them speaking in our own languages of the wonderful works of God." Please stand for the gospel. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you have heard is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while yet dwelling with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your mind whatever I have said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I go away and I'm coming to you. If you love me, you will indeed rejoice that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it has come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the prince of the world is coming, and in me he has nothing. But he comes that the world may know that I love the Father, and that I do as the Father has commanded me." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's gospel, our Lord is addressing the apostles at the Last Supper, right before he goes out to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's talking about sending the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. Now, this isn't the first time or the last time he talks about this. After the resurrection, he mentions also that he will send another counselor, right? All the way up to right before the ascension, he says that. Now, if you notice, though, the Holy Spirit, he comes 9 days after the ascension. And before the Holy Spirit comes, the apostles are fearful. They are not out in the world. So they're there in the upper room, but it's not till the Holy Spirit comes, as it says, as a violent wind, do they go out and begin preaching. Back after the crucifixion, the apostles are in the upper room. The first public appearance to all the apostles, minus St. Thomas, our Lord appears to them. And it says, the scriptures say, they were in the upper room, and they said the doors were locked. Why were they locked? Because of the fear of the Jews. The apostles were fearful. St. Peter, think about St. Peter, where the reading is from Holy Thursday. St. Peter at the Last Supper proclaims that he will never abandon our Lord. He's willing to die for him, but when the time comes, he's fearful. And he abandons our Lord and denies him, and even curses, says, "I do not know the man." Why is this? Because the apostles, up to the point of the Holy Spirit coming, are relying on their own strength. St. Peter was relying on his own strength, and he failed. The apostles are fearful because they only have themselves. The Holy Spirit isn't there. It is today, the Feast of Pentecost, that we say, it is the birthday of the church. It is when the church was first really comes into existence. Before that, you say, well, what were the apostles? They were there. They were like the body without the spirit. We also say the Holy Spirit dwells in the church like the soul dwells in the body. Without that soul, the body is dead. We think about the creation of Adam. It says that God created Adam, his body, and then he blew the life into him. He blew his breath into him. The soul went into him, and then he was created. The body is nothing without the soul. Now, they belong together. We don't want to fall into the idea that the soul is somehow trapped in the body. They belong together. They're a created whole. But without that soul, the body can't do anything. And so it is the church, the bride of Christ. The apostles can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. They are fearful. They are shrinking away. It is after the Spirit comes, settles on each one of them with this visible sign of the wind. That's when they have the courage to go out and to preach Christ. And then grace is greatly given, and 3,000 people convert to Christianity. But it is only after the Spirit comes do they have then the strength. Now, each one of us has the Holy Spirit, each one of us in sanctifying grace. We receive the Holy Spirit at baptism, right? With baptism, our sins are washed away. We're given sanctifying grace, right? Sanctifying grace makes us a child of God, holy and pleasing to God, an heir of heaven, and a temple of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, and actually the Holy Trinity dwells in us. We have the Spirit within us. That's how we are incorporated into, as we say, the body of Christ, the church. And then for confirmation, there's then a strengthening. The Holy Spirit comes down in a special way to each one to strengthen them. Every person in sanctifying grace has this indwelling of the Spirit. Now, if you commit a mortal sin, you lose sanctifying grace and the Holy Spirit leaves until you get back into sanctifying grace. But sometimes, oftentimes, each one of us who is in sanctifying grace, I'm not talking about those in sin, we are often more like the apostles before Pentecost than we are like the apostles after Pentecost. That when it comes to interacting with the world, we're maybe not just a little bit fearful, but very fearful. And our society pushes this upon us. They say, you can be a Christian, but you have to be, you shouldn't publicly proclaim it. You can do it behind closed doors. But in public, no, we don't want to see any of that. And oftentimes, most of the time, we are like that. Fearful to exhibit any semblance of our religion. Many times. When you're at a restaurant, how many times do you actually make the sign of the cross and say grace over the meal? Oftentimes, people don't do that. I don't know. I'm just giving it to your conscience to think about. Or any type of action. The Holy Spirit is given to us, especially after confirmation, so that we can then go out and engage the world. It's not just for the priests. It's for everyone. Christ gives that great commission before his ascension. Go forth and make disciples of all nations. God wants us to do it. You know, many years ago there was a comedian. He was a Jewish comedian. And he once said, got on the topic of Catholicism. He says, you know, you Catholics claim that God founded your religion, and after 2,000 years, only 20% of the world is Catholic. It doesn't seem like God's on your side if you only got 20% after 2,000 years. He has a good point. Point is, though, God wants us to do it. He gives us all these things for us to bear witness. Now, We want to be careful, though. Sometimes people use religion because they just happen to be kind of a cantankerous and argumentative person, and they like to argue, and they like to get into these type of things. I'm not talking about that. Person who has that maybe defect, they need to work on that. And so it's not just religion, but anything they would argue over. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about having the courage to bear witness to our faith in society. And that is just live your life, and so that it's when things happen, it's clear. It's clear that you are, and be ready to discuss it. This is something that every one of us should do. And the Spirit is given to us for us to do that. Every Catholic, and hopefully every Catholic that here is confirmed also, everyone old enough. But like I said, oftentimes I think we're a little bit afraid, embarrassed, or shy. And so what is the remedy? The remedy is to pray for an increase in the Spirit. We can ask for an increase of the Holy Spirit or an increase in His action within our lives. As we become holier, of course, the Holy Spirit should become more active in our life. But in general, we should pray directly to Him and ask Him to come into our lives more fully. The apostles from the ascension to Pentecost prayed. That was the first novena, right? 9 days. They prayed every day for the coming of the Spirit that was promised. And then they got it. It means that you can pray for the Holy Spirit. Of course we can. We should pray for the Holy Spirit to come within each one of our lives so that we have the courage to actually be a true witness for the faith. A witness in the face of a world that is unbelieving. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.